12,000 fans here at Bramlage Coliseum spilling out onto the court. A huge celebration as Kansas State, for the first time since 1983, has knocked off the Kansas Jayhawks in Manhattan.
Welcome to Bring On the Podcast. Here's your host, Aaron Alley.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Bring On the Podcast. I'm Aaron Alley, along with Derek Smith of Bring On the Cats. And tonight our special guest is the main men's basketball beat writer at the Manhattan Mercury, Joel Jellison. Joel, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
And we'll get to basketball in a second. That's going to be the main focus. But real quick, but football teams won two in a row. Feels like kind of on a roll. You know, where is this team at right now?
Yeah, I think they're playing about as well as they can defensively. Maybe they'll even get better as it goes on. I still think they have some kinks offensively, but getting Lockett back and Thompson back, and then having Hubert run well is what's really getting this team to be successful right now.
And Texas Tech this weekend, they look pretty beatable, do you think?
You know, it seems like it's a different Texas Tech from week to week. Of course, they played that really close game with Iowa State, and they haven't been as good with the early kickoffs and getting their stadium full, so it could be a tough game for Texas Tech even at home.
I was a little bit surprised yesterday, I think it was. I looked at the national stats for passing yards per game, and they're like only 7 yards per game behind Baylor, which I had no idea. I knew they were up there, but I had no idea that was that close.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll have as much success defending the pass. What do you think, Joel?
You know, this Texas Tech is still a little bit balanced. I know, you know, Cliff has brought a lot of passing back to the school that they kind of lost with Tuberville. But, if they try to run the ball, I think the defense is going to be ready for that. But there's no doubt that they're going to watch that film and see those big plays that K-State's given up. And I'm sure they're going to try to attack some of the same things.
How vulnerable do you think this defense is to Jason Morrow?
I think every defense is probably vulnerable to that guy. He can do everything. It's going to be tough to stop him, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, well, before that football game happens, we got the basketball opener. It's Friday night against Northern Colorado. They played an exhibition last Friday. Joel, just what was your assessment of that game? How'd the team look?
I saw a lot of fouls, and I came to the conclusion that we're going to see a lot of fouls in basketball this year from that one and comparing that to KU's game against Pittsburgh State. They had about 50 fouls. Other than that, the team is going to be very undersized, especially with those foul rules. I see Thomas Gibson and DJ Johnson getting in foul trouble early every game, maybe. And then what do you do from there if you only have two forwards? That's probably going to be the big question for this team.
Yeah, and without Gibson, I mean, they started DJ Johnson or Amari Lawrence. Who's going to come out of the starting lineup when Gibson gets back?
You know, probably DJ Johnson. And Shane Southwell was listed as a starter for the game but didn't start. He was a late replacement for Amari Lawrence, of course. It'll be interesting to see if Gibson is back this week, by the way, because Bruce Weber hasn't been real clear on what his status is at this point.
How confident are you in Will Spradling's ability to hold down the point until Javon Thomas gets there?
Not at all.
Yeah, I'm right there with Luke. I mean, you've seen small sample sizes from Will in the 3 years he's been here prior to this one, and he's never been real good at running the point, despite what Bruce will tell you. Bruce obviously has to have the utmost confidence in a player like that. But, man, they're going to struggle when they get against you know, some of the better teams they play, maybe in Puerto Rico, you know, maybe Ole Miss even, although they have some post troubles. It's going to be an experiment with Will, I think, till they get to Thomas.
Yeah.
I feel like the best thing you can say about Will, on a good day, if he shoots well, he knows his limitations. You know, is he still playing within himself most of the time?
Yeah, and you know, it was hard to figure out what was really going on in that exhibition game last Friday, because he played 24 minutes, he fouled so quickly, he didn't seem like he wanted to take a shot. And I think they need him to be a little bit more aggressive and try to find that shot, rather than just sit back and watch everybody else, because they may not really have a go-to scorer right now.
How much of a liability is Will Spradlin defensively?
I think he's gotten a little bit better because he's gotten a little bit stronger, at a little bit size. But he still doesn't have the speed to run backwards and catch up with the kind of point guards he's going to face in the Big 12. So I think he's decent, you know, going to be a liability until they get Javon Thomas. You know, Nigel Johnson will be probably a guy that fits in well, point guard, by that time of the year, too.
How much do you think the team will change with Javon? I know we haven't seen him play at all, but do you have any sense of what he'll bring?
You know, from seeing what he did over the summer when he played in Europe, you have to think that he's going to bring not only another scorer, but you hear other guys talk about him being pretty aggressive, kind of being a talker. So you know, he's going to be that guy that's out on the court, and he's willing to talk trash with the other guys, and he's not going to back down.
And kind of the story from K-State was, hey, our freshmen did really well. The three freshmen scored a bunch of points. You know, were they that impressive, you think?
Owondu is probably going to get better as the season goes on. I think, obviously, Marcus Foster is going to be maybe the go-to guy by the time they get to Big 12 play as far as scoring, because there's nobody else on this team that's proven they can carry the load any of the time they've been here. I mean, you know, Shane has little flashes. Nino had a pretty good game on Friday, but those guys have never shown they can consistently score in double figures.
I think with Shane, there's still a little bit of a sense that maybe he's capable of making that jump and becoming consistent. Is there anything to indicate that might happen this year?
You know, it could happen. I do think it could happen. When you watch him play, maybe he's forcing things right now. But if he can get to the point where he was last year, where he kind of just calms down and he can make a high percentage from three, then, you know, he's going to be that guy that can carry the scoring load, and he can be a big player.
On the other hand, I kind of worry about Amari Lawrence as a starter. It seems like he's kind of got a ceiling. I don't know. Is he getting better? Is he have more potential?
I walked around with a couple guys when they had an open scrimmage a couple weeks ago before a football game. I had Amari at, I think, 0 for 9 from the field and 0 for 3 from the free throw line in that game, and he was just kind of chucking it up. And they were taking that a little bit more serious than the Madness in Manhattan scrimmage. He is the kind of player that Bruce will refer to as an X factor, but everyone else is probably going to kind of worry when he's out on the court and wonder why he's out there in place of other guys.
Yeah.
With the game coming up on Friday, do we know anything about Northern Colorado at all? Are they any kind of a threat to upset us? Other than I think that was the school that Colin Klein almost went to play basketball, was it not?
Yeah, I think that's right. I haven't looked a lot at Northern Colorado, but if K-State can't figure out how to play adequately in the post and they aren't hitting their shots from the outside, I think it's possible they could lose to just about anybody here early in the year. They've said it before, they're going to have to rely on their defense and wait for the offense to come, and they're hoping it's there by the time they go to Puerto Rico. But if Gibson isn't ready to go on Friday, we think he had a concussion maybe. We haven't heard for sure, but and it's DJ Johnson, he gets in foul trouble. You know, it's hard to tell what happens with the post situation in that game from there.
Are there any real tests before they get to Puerto Rico? I mean, Long Beach State has had good teams in the past, but Seems like they lost a bunch of guys.
I think that's the closest they get to a test, but nothing really other than that. And, you know, by the time they get to Puerto Rico, that is really going to be the test. It depends on how everything plays out. You know, if they win a couple games down there, they could end up playing Michigan, though, in a championship of that thing, and it'd be the second straight year that they ended up playing Michigan.
That went well last year.
Yeah, that didn't go well at all last year.
Do you get to make the trip to Puerto Rico?
No, I think, you know, I think only one of the reporters who actually covers K-State's going to make that trip, and they just decided that within the last week.
Okay. What do you think, what's your prediction on K-State's finish in the Big 12 this season?
You know, the Big 12, other than the top two spots, I really do think it's pretty wide open, probably about 5-9. I think TCU will be better than the 10th team this year. You look at everything, they did return, and, you know, having one of the best point guards in the league and adding a top 50 player, you know, K-State really will have a tough time, I think, in that 5-9 area unless they can get a good player that's going to score. But right now I do think they'll finish about 5 or 6 like they are predicted.
What would it take for them to get into the top tier? And maybe not quite with the Oklahoma State, but, you know, have a chance to battle for third at least.
Yeah, to get up to that third spot maybe in the league, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Baylor sure didn't live up to expectations last year, and they're pretty much the same team. So, that could happen again, really, if you can find the right combination of scorers and you play the good enough defense that K-State obviously does every year. They still haven't lost that defensive prowess that they had under Frank Martin, so... or at least we haven't seen them lose it yet. So it's possible that they could get up to third or fourth, you know. I don't think Oklahoma is so overly impressive that you couldn't battle with them at the fourth spot either.
How important would this year be for evaluating Bruce Weber and what he's going to be able to do?
You know, that's tough because they're going to return so much to next year's team. This could be kind of a good year, but also a really good growing year for those freshmen, because I do think this group of freshmen is pretty good, especially Foster, and I think Owandu has a lot of room to grow. Obviously, Javon Thomas will get good. You'll have Thomas Gibson back. So it's hard to tell how much you can judge off of this year. You can be sure that if they're not as successful as they were last year, or, you know, not top five in the Big 12, you'll probably hear a lot of people talking and, you know, comparing K-State to some of the latter years Bruce Weber had in Illinois.
What about the freshman Karapetian, or however you pronounce that? Is he going to offer much?
Karapetian?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mouthful, isn't it? I don't know what he'll offer. You know, Bruce kind of makes excuses for some guys when they haven't really practiced much, and he broke his foot early on during the summer, so he really only practiced that last week leading up to the exhibition. Some of the other guys told me, and I kind of agree with this, that it looked like he belonged more on the other team, like he should be playing for Pittsburgh State. Maybe that's just where he was leading up to that game, you know, with not a lot of practice, but if he could turn into a good player, maybe as good as DJ was last year, where he could just go out there and rebound, play defense, that's definitely something this team would need before it gets to Big 12 play.
And then Iwandu, I mean, is he more of an inside threat or outside?
You know, he really isn't either. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Dominique Sutton, where he can slash because we've seen Iwandu shoot the three, and, you know, Dominique used to attempt to shoot threes, maybe not so well.
Well, he had his days.
Yeah, he had his days. You know, Wesley, he's very athletic, like Dominique Sutton was, but he doesn't have an inside game, really. He doesn't have an outside game. He can get into the lane, but he's not a guy that can post up. He's going to have to be a guy that passes a lot. he's maybe more comparable to Shane Southwell as a freshman, but with a more polished game, maybe more scoring ability than Shane had back then.
So, I mean, who are the shooters on this team? Besides Bradley, and obviously can shoot it. Are they going to be a three-point shooting team at all?
Well, you have to expect with Bruce Weber at the, you know, the head coach spot, they're going to shoot a lot of threes because that's what his teams do. They lean on the guard play. You know, Nigel Johnson showed that he was willing to shoot the three the other night. No one really shot the three well. I think they were 4-23, if I remember right. But, you know, Marcus Foster can shoot the three. Wesley will shoot it when he's open every once in a while. Oddly enough, Thomas Gibson shot up two or three threes and was close on every one of them. Madness in Manhattan, not that he would do that in a game. Southwell is going to shoot threes again. You know, it's just, they're going to run a lot, and I think they're going to be looking to kick off the run and try to hit those threes. The problem is going to be when Will's the point guard, if he's running the court, who's he going to kick it out to for the three? Or is he just going to think he can pull up and shoot it? I'm curious to see what he'll do when they get into, you know, an actual game situation where it's important to see what he can do at point guard.
You say that, you're getting my hopes up a little bit. Is this going to be more up-tempo than a typical Bruce Weber team?
They've said they do want to push it. They're athletic enough to push it. You know, Gibson lost a lot of weight in the summer, and he can run the floor. DJ Johnson, he loves to run the floor, so they have posts that can run the floor. They're undersized, so they feel like they're going to have to run the floor, I think, against some of the bigger teams.
Do you think that not having a established point guard like Angel will help with that up-tempo, that they're not looking for the point every time they inbound the ball?
I think it will a little bit, you know, because when Javon Thomas gets into the mix, you're going to have four or five, maybe six guys who can bring the ball up court because they've said Shane can do it, you know, Wesley Wandu. Any of the guards can bring it up court. I think they like that. Any guy can bring it up court and really set the play, and anybody can play in any position at any time.
So, whose production do you think is harder to replace, Sandra Rodriguez or Roddy McGruder?
You know, I've been split on that a little bit myself, but you have to think it's probably Angel. You know, the assist to turnover ratio with the number of assists he had is so much higher than what Will did, and you know, everyone's talked about Will's assist to turnover ratio around here lately, but you know, Angel could also score and he could also drive to the basket. He could play defense. Those are some things that Will, still at this point in his career, can't really bring you. And Angel just had a tenacity about his game where he was willing to take the risks, you know, when other guys were just kind of standing around waiting for something to happen.
And real quick, we're talking about Rodney, actually. He didn't make the Thunder roster. Is he playing in the D-League somewhere?
You know, he still hasn't decided, and I didn't look last night to see if he was drafted in the D-League draft, but I know he had been offered by the Thunder's D-League affiliate, and he had said that he was weighing his option between the D-League and going overseas, but he still hadn't made the decision yet, you know, as of yesterday.
What is that D-League affiliate for the Thunder?
You know, I'm not sure which team that is. It's hard to keep track of all those D-League teams.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the Rio Grande Vipers or whatever that J.O. signed with. I didn't know that team existed until I saw that he signed with them.
Yeah. You can take the Cartier Martin right. He's doing pretty well now.
Seems like. I think anybody, you know, would be okay with taking the Cartier Martin route if they made it that way.
I mean, I guess looking forward, what is kind of going to be the identity of this team? You know, what are they going to do best?
I think this team will probably still be a pretty good defensive team. Last year, they were one of the Big 12's best rebounding teams and one of the Big 12's best defensive scoring teams. And I think they'll still have to be that good this year to be in a lot of those Big 12 games. Obviously, that's what led to the Big 12 title last year. You know, yeah, Roddy McGruder only scored about 15 points a game, and that's really all you needed was a guy like that to carry the team. So I think they'll be similar to last year, maybe with more growing pains with as much youth as they have versus the experience that they return that really has never been leaned on for big minutes, big points, big statistics.
I think we might go through some of those agonizingly close games against bad teams that we saw in the Frank Martin years.
I think they could here early. You hate to see those games on either side because, they always come down to some crazy foul or something at the end, especially with the rules this year. I can see a lot of fouls under a minute to go. But I think they're also going to struggle to figure out who's going to take the shot at the end of the game in the first half of the season, and that's maybe going to be the difference between some of those close games.
I mean, what do you feel like the fan base's expectations are and how they might react if this team faces some adversity?
Man, it's hard to really gather what the fan expectation is here. You have those fans that I think just want to go out and see the team play and hope that they can finish somewhere middle of the Big 12, maybe towards the top, play good against KU here at least. And then you have those fans that are probably going to think that this team can't do anything right this year, even when they win games. I think the realistic fan expectation is that this team can finish probably maybe third or fourth in the Big 12 behind Kansas and Oklahoma State.
Do you think we have any kind of a realistic shot of upsetting the Jayhawks this season?
It doesn't really look that way on paper. They look so good. The one thing I would say about KU is that they do have, with all those good players they have, they all seem to be kind of the same player, same size. I don't know if any team will be able to get to them this year, but maybe somebody will. I don't think TCU will beat KU again, though. I couldn't see something like that happen. It would have to be the upper-tier teams that could give KU a run in Big 12 play.
Well, we basically heard that Andrew Wiggins is like the second coming of Jesus. Is that about right?
Well, he's already been on GQ and, every other magazine cover. But Jesus was never on GQ, so... Who knows?
That is true. Jesus has never been on the cover of GQ. So, what, in your opinion, would be a successful year this year with the expectations?
Obviously, that's what every team wants to do. I would think they would be a 6-10 seed maybe in the NCAA tournament. I think if they can get there, I think you'd be pretty happy. And, anytime you're a Big 12 team and you're a 6-10 seed, you probably are going to get a good pairing against maybe a mid-major, and you never know what happens from there.
Looking ahead to next year, I think we've got, two recruits now officially?
Right.
For next season. And what do you think that it's shaping up like? Do you think that Bruce Weber's going to avoid the problems he had at Illinois with recruiting, or do you think that it's going to be a lot of the same where it drops off?
I'm really curious about what they're doing with recruiting right now because, obviously I think they got a big win with their forward they brought in. But
Stephen Hurt.
You look at the other guy they added, and no one can find much information on him. I think maybe some rivals guys have gotten a hold of him to talk to him. He has no stars on any site. There's no information really about him. So you wonder where they got him from because they beat out, I believe, Delaware and Toledo to get him to come to K-State. So are they seeing something that no other, legit BCS-level school is seeing? Or are they settling on a guy like that because they went big with offers on a bunch of other guys that have decided to go to better schools?
Actually, the other big guy, Stephen Hurt, I got a chance to see him play. At Lipscomb, and
right.
I mean, he was really good. He could really play outside game. He had really impressive hands for a big man. I talked to one assistant coach who thought Maybe the only concern is, can he keep up with those guys? Does he have that athleticism at the next level? But I think he's going to be a guy that can do some good things for K-State for sure.
And you imagine him next year maybe paired with Thomas Gibson on the court, and that looks like a pretty good K-State team with all the guys you have coming back, you know, Thomas, Foster, Wandu, and then, you know, you'd have a pretty good pairing in the post there.
And he's got some experience going against big teams. I think they played Kentucky last year. He's all right.
Right, and I think, you know, didn't he have a big highlight block maybe of...
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, who knows?
Do you ever get to watch practice, like see any of the transfers that are already there?
You know, we get to see a little bit of it sometimes, and we have gotten to see Brandon Bolden and Justin Edwards in a couple of scrimmages. Obviously, I think all K-State fans know right now that Justin Edwards is clearly the best dunker on the team. The kid can really jump. The questions about him have always been his ability to score in games, especially with his long-range shot. Now, in both scrimmages, he shot pretty well from three, and he looked like he had a good three ball. So I think, you know, if he spends a year working with the guys, you know, the staff, I think he'll probably turn into a pretty good player for the next 2 years for this team. But Brandon Bolden, he's probably pretty raw. You wonder about a guy that was supposedly that talented and then, you know, got to Georgetown and couldn't even get on the floor.
So could he be like another Jason Bennett, like tall guy like that?
You know, he looks better than Jason Bennett on the floor with the way he plays, or the way at least he played in the scrimmages and what I've seen him practice. You know, he's going to be a project for sure. He needs to put on a lot of weight because, what, he's like 6'11", 205 or something. I mean, he's pretty thin.
Yes, I mean, what are your thoughts on Bruce Weber? You know, do you buy the hype that he got last year? Or I'm more of a kind of let's wait and see, you know, what he did at Illinois, and I need him to prove himself with his own recruits, who I really believe. What do you think?
I think you have to wait and see, because I think last year was sort of the perfect storm. You know, I think he took over a team that was defensively minded, and his offensive system probably was better for that group than Frank Martin's was. You know, I think it led to better scoring. It led to a more fluid offense. I do think you have to wait and see, though, because if they go out this year and lay an egg and then they don't get any good recruits, I mean, how long can they go with the class they got this last year? Because they've already lost one from his first class, and basically his first class right now is DJ Johnson.
Do you think that the defensive intensity of this team is going to drop off at all this year and into next year with the loss of Frank Martin, or is it going to stick around for a while yet?
I don't think so, because I think they have enough guys left, and I think what they looked to do with this recruiting class was bring in guys that could play well offensively, were athletic, could possibly be scorers, but also guys that they knew were good defenders. And maybe Nigel Johnson is the weak point of all those guards they brought in as far as defending. But he's still probably pretty good. He's probably still right up there with, you know, with Will Spradling in terms of how well he can defend. I think they're still going to have that defensive intensity, at least by Big 12. They may struggle with some of that youth early on, especially with some of those youth, you know, some of those younger guys playing a lot of minutes.
About who's going to step into the leadership void with Rodney gone and Angel to an extent also?
I think it's going to be Thomas Gibson. I really do. I hear the guys say that they're getting a lot of leadership from Will and Shane and Amari, but I think that's just that token thing that guys always say where they try to promote the seniors as the leaders. Yeah. I think last year Rodney stepped up because he had to, because they needed somebody to be the leader. But I do think that Thomas Gibson is the most vocal guy on the team and that he will be the leader in the long run.
Well, I don't know, Derek. Do you have anything else?
Nope, I'm fresh out of questions.
Well, I have to imagine people are going to be turning from football to basketball a little sooner this year, maybe.
So, yeah, I think so.
Hopefully they can get it together. Joel, thanks a lot for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Derek, thanks for coming on again, and hopefully we'll be back next week.
Yep.
All right. I'm Aaron Alley. I'll see you later.